Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I'm so glad that you have tuned in to today's program. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the lead pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa. I've been pastoring there for 27 years and one of the things that I love to do is show how God's Word that was written so long ago connects to our world right now. And I want to thank Bruce Newman for sponsoring this morning's program. I know that one of Bruce's favorite ministries is Jericho Road, so I'd like to give a shout out to them as well. They are a local charity that exists to serve the poor, the addicted, and the mentally ill. And it's really an amazing ministry. So thanks, Bruce, and thank you, Jericho Road. I know that some of you who are listening have been followers of Jesus for a long time. And I know that others of you think of yourselves as spiritual, but you're not really sure about this Christian thing. And I know that others of you are curious on how people of faith think. I trust that wherever you are on your spiritual journey, that you'll find this program interesting and informative. And I believe that it, for those of you who desire it, God can use a program like this to take you another step closer to Him. This morning, I want to talk about the unfairness of grace. We are going to look at it through the lens of Matthew chapter 20. Matthew's the first book in the New Testament. There's a place in our city called handyman personnel. People, mostly guys, show up very early in the morning. Employers who need laborers for the day come and pick from the people who have showed up, drive those people to the work site where they work for the day, and at the end of the day, they get paid for their labor. A friend of mine used to get work through there, and he said you had to show up really early in the morning. He said if you showed up at 8 a.m., you wouldn't get hired. You weren't guaranteed a job if you showed up, but the odds were better if you showed up early. Well, that is exactly what is going on in our scripture passage. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for the vineyard. Jesus goes on to say, he agreed to pay a normal day's wage and sent them out to work. Jesus tells the story because he wants to communicate what the kingdom of heaven is like. As you know, Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven, and Mark and Luke and John use the kingdom of God as synonymous terms. They both mean the same thing. Jesus has to talk about the kingdom of God in story form because, well, there's nothing quite like it here on earth that you can point to and say, well, it's that. So he shows different aspects of the kingdom of God by telling stories. So in this story, a landowner goes to the market at 6 a.m., when the day's laborers hope to get hired, and he hires a number of guys, and they negotiate what they are going to be paid for a day's labor. It really wasn't a negotiation in a sense because there was a going rate for a day's labor. It was called a denarius. It was kind of like working for minimum wage. If you work an eight-hour day at minimum wage here in Ontario, you make about $110. The laborer in our story worked for a longer day, about 12 hours from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., but for round numbers, let's say they made $100 a day. Verse 3 of Matthew chapter 20, Jesus goes on to say, "At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them that he would pay whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon again and at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. So the landowner goes back to the market at 9 and in the morning, at noon, at 3, he hires more people. And this time they do not negotiate what the landowner would pay them. He just told them he would pay them whatever, right? At the day's end, 6 p.m., some are going to work for 3-hour shifts, some are going to work a 6-hour shift, some are going to work a 9-hour shift, some are going to work a 12-hour shift. Verse 6, well, at 5 o'clock in that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, well, why haven't you been working today? They replied, well, because no one has hired us. Landowner owner told them, well, then go out and join the others in my vineyard. Now, some of them are going to work a 1-hour shift. You know, my daughter works at Starbucks, and they have a number of weird shifts. Sometimes she'll work an 8-hour shift. Sometimes she'll work a 3-hour shift, but she punches in and punches out, and she gets paid for the hours that she works. That is the expectation of the laborers of our story. When we work a half a day, we'll get paid $50. When we work a quarter of a day, we'll get $25. If we work an hour a day, well, maybe we'll have enough to buy some bagels and some lox, but we're not going to have to go to bed hungry. Verse 8. That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wages. When those who hired first came to get their pay, they assumed that they would receive more. But they, too, were paid a day's wages. When they received their pay, the protesters protested to the owner. Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've been paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. So it's 6 p.m., and the whistle's sounding, and it's time to get paid. Foreman gathers the workers and groups them into groups by when they started to work. The guy who had worked for an hour got paid $100. News quickly trickles through the crowd of laborers. These men have been working since 6 a.m. They thought, well, those guys worked 1 hour and received $100. I worked 12 hours. I should receive $1,200. But when they got paid, they received $100 as well. And they were mad. And they protested. They paid, you paid those people as much as you paid us, but we worked a lot longer than they did. It's just not fair. So if I were to conflate the story into these workers' perspective, they would say, well, the kingdom of God is not fair. And it is not the first time the kingdom of God has been accused of being unfair. You remember the story of the prodigal son. Younger son comes to ask his father to get his inheritance and then moves to a distant land and parties till the money runs out. Broke, destitute, and broken, he decides to return to the father and ask for forgiveness. The father sees him from afar off and runs towards him and wraps his arms around him and throws a party for him. He says, "My son who was dead is now alive." When the older brother hears the party and finds out what's going on, he basically says, well, I stayed home, and I've been a good kid, and my brother's been off partying, and he comes home, and you throw a party for him? But you haven't thrown a party for me. That's just not fair. From the older brother's perspective, from the laborer's perspective, who started at 6 a.m., the kingdom of God is just not fair. And you can see it from their perspective too, right? And yet Jesus chooses to tell these stories and says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. So the question is why? Well, here's what you need to know about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's perspective on life is very different than a normal perspective on life. You might expect that from the one who said, love your enemies, bless those who persecute you, forgive those who have offended you. You might expect that from one who has taught us that if we were going to gain life, we need to lose it. To be great, we need to become servants. To be strong, we needed to be humble. The kingdom perspective is different. Jesus in our story today is saying, the kingdom perspective is different. And you may think it's unfair, but Jesus says the kingdom isn't unfair. Sometimes it's only fair, but in most cases, it's really, really generous. Back to our story, verse 13. He answered them, "Friend, have I been unfair? Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I want to pay this last worker the same as you. It isn't against the law for me to do what I want with my money. Should you be jealous because I am kind to others?" The landowner said, "Friend, And notice the relational word. I haven't cheated you. I haven't been unjust. I have paid you what we agreed on this morning. And I'm choosing to be kind and generous to others. What's that to you? How I'm treating other people doesn't matter to you. I'm treating you fairly. From the landowner's perspective, he was being fair to some and generous to others. The ones who started early in the morning got what they agreed to, and others got more than they thought they would get. We're going to listen to some music, and then we're going to ask the question, well, what does this parable mean to us? We're going to listen to Keith Green, Your Love Broke Through.
Searching for that crazy missing part, and with one touch you just rolled away the stone that held my heart. And now I see that the answer was as easy as just asking you in, and I am so sure I could never doubt your gentle touch again. It's like
the landowner in the story represents God. The laborers in the story represent the people who are already in the kingdom of God. This is not talking about earning your salvation. We don't work for our salvation. You're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not a result of works that anyone can boast. So the landowner comes and he calls the laborers to go to work in his field. And God comes to call people to become part of his family. Part become his children. Part of what it means to be a follower of his. He calls people to follow him. And you'll notice that in our story, the landowner initiates the call and the laborers respond. That's a very important observation because God is always the initiator. He's the one who initiates and he calls and we respond. The day in the story represents the span of our life. You know, I became a Christian when I was 5 years old. I remember in the basement of the Armprior Wesleyan Church that my teacher told a story and said something like, "Why don't you ask Jesus to come into your life?" The next day, my family had a tradition of reading a Bible story at breakfast, and then everyone in the family prayed. And during the prayer, I asked Jesus to come into my life. And my mom and dad were really happy about that. And so the next day at family prayers, I asked him to come into my life again. I grew out of that. I was one of those 6 a.m. laborers. God called me very early in life, and, well, I responded. Some of you responded to the call of God in university. Some of you are 9 a.m. laborers. Some of you responded to the call of God in your 30s and 40s. You're 12 o'clock laborers. Some of you responded to God in your 50s and 60s and 70s. You're 3 o'clock laborers. I know some people who respond to God just before they die. They're 5 p.m. laborers. There have been different times in my life when following Jesus has been difficult. If I were not following Jesus, I would have made some very different choices, and my life would have been different and may have been easier. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm glad I've chosen to follow Jesus, but sometimes it's hard. And sometimes because you came to faith later on in life, you miss that, although I have to say I miss some of the devastation that sin can cause in a life, for which I am grateful. Yet what the story is saying is that whether you came to faith when you're 5 or when you're 80, the reward is eternal life. The reward is the same. That's the unfairness of grace. Now, unlike the laborers in the story, I'm always happy to see people come to faith in Jesus. I don't feel resentful if they come later on in life. God has not been unfair to me, and I don't mind if he is generous to you. This is a kingdom perspective. And there are some of you who are well on in years, and you've been giving thought to God lately, and you're tempted to think, well, you know, I've lived on my own. I really haven't lived for God. And you're tempted to think, well, it's too late now. It's too late for me to come to Jesus. It's too late for me to be part of his family. That could not be further from the truth. See, God invites people into his kingdom at all kinds of ages. The fact that you are even thinking about it means that he is inviting you. I would urge you to respond to the invitation to invite Jesus into your life to forgive your sins. You do that simply by saying, "Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have broken God's laws. Please forgive me and come into my life. I'm going to follow you. Lord, I've lived most of my life for myself, but now I want to live for you." For some of you, that's a whole new thought. And my prayer is that God would help you to respond to him as you're thinking about him, that you would pray that prayer. And if you decide to follow Jesus, well, one of the important things that needs to happen is that you need to get involved with the people of God. Find a good church. You may have to look, and there's a lot of good churches around, but you're going to have to look for them and find a good church. And if you haven't been a church, you're going to find that, well, church is kind of a foreign place to you. And for some of you, it'll be really intimidating. Some of you think, you know, lightning will strike if you walk into the building. Well, no, it won't strike. Here's what you need to know. The church is made up of people. The people of God, people who want to follow Jesus. And if you come to church later on in life, you'll find that, well, the church has its own culture. And it can be kind of a foreign culture to you. You know, when you go to church, we sing together, and, you know, which not everybody does. And we sing songs that you may not know. And we have traditions like communion that may be a little odd. And we use words that don't come up in everyday conversation. And we promote the culture of the kingdom of God, which is just odd if you're not used to it. You know, love people even if you don't click with them. Serve even if you get nothing in return. Forgive people, be generous. All are cultural issues that the people have to get used to. Then there's the whole issue of holiness and purity and righteousness. You know, sin matters to God. It's why Jesus came and died on the cross. God has an aversion to sin, and he calls us to have an aversion to sin, but it takes a while to deal with those kind of things in our lives. And sometimes we think, oh, man, everybody has it all together and we don't, which isn't true. But it's easy to think that. And when you go into churches, it's sometimes counterculture. And in the world, sometimes people are boasting about all the things they did wrong. Well, that doesn't happen in the church or shouldn't. And all that to say is that for those of you who have grown up in the church, you take how things work for granted. Those of you who are coming to work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's a new kind of place. It's a new kind of job. You take a look around and you think, hey, this is a different culture. I don't know if I fit in here. I want to fit in, but I'll never be like these people. It's fairly easy to go from there to say, I don't belong. I don't belong here. People seem to have a smile on their face and I'm not feeling it. And people seem to be good and I know myself. And you can give a long list of reasons why you shouldn't be there. Well, what our story says, though, is that from God's perspective, it doesn't matter what time of life you came to faith. You belong with the people of God as much as anyone else does. God went to the market and he found you. He invited you to come and work for him. You responded to the invitation that he made, that made you one of his workers, made you one of his children. He would say to those of you who are not sure if you belong, yes, you belong. It doesn't matter that you came later in life. It doesn't matter that you're not quite sure if you fit in or not. You don't quite know what you're doing. I chose you, God would say. You belong. See, there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. I've been serving God all my life. You've been serving God for 6 months. But in God's sight, we're equal. You see, as you see yourself as God sees you, and God loves you, and God cares about you deeply. I remember about a decade ago, I was sitting in an Aero leadership class, and there were with ministers and ministries and leaders from all across the country and speakers looking around the room saying, some of you are going to make a good salary doing your ministry and following your calling. Others of you are going to barely be able to make ends meet. You will be poor all your life. Then he said, and God seems okay with that. I thought, well, that's really unfair. Here I was sitting with top-notch leaders from across the country, all with great skills and abilities, and this speaker was talking about the unfairness of ministry, and he was right. One of the person in the room was planting a church and working at Starbucks, and God seemed to be okay with that. Another person in the room is now the head of a Baptist ministry in Atlantic Canada and travels all over the world, and God seems to be okay with that. If you would have asked me who had the strongest leadership gifts, it would have been the person working at Starbucks. Our passage seems to indicate that God is okay with this kind of fairness. It seems really unfair to me that I get to pastor in a great place here like Ottawa, and many pastors like in Africa have to walk or bicycle great distances to get to church, and they have to work a lot harder than I do just to keep their family together. Seems unfair to me that in many parts of the world there are pastors who are in prison for their faith, whereas, after this morning services, I'll likely go home and watch a football game. There's an unfairness in grace. Jesus told a story that we're looking at today in response to a question. I want to take it back to that question. It's found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Then Peter said to him, "We've given up everything to follow you. What will we get?" Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then. And those who seem the least important now will be the greatest then. Jesus tells his disciples this story about the landowner right after that. And he goes on to say, those who are last now, they'll be first then. Those who are first now will be last. But many who are greatest now will be the least important then. Those who seem the least important now will be greatest then. But those who are last now will be first then. Those who are first now will be last. Many who serve in obscurity now will be the most important when all is revealed. Many who are important now will not be so important then. Those who are last now will be first then. Those who are first now will be last then. Here's the thing about the kingdom of God. Success looks different than it does in the world. You are not judged by the amount of time you put in. You're not judged by your status here and now. God has a whole different standard. What he does ask is that you follow him where you are now. Be faithful where you are now. Serve him even when it costs you. Serve him even when you don't get credit for it. Serve him even though you have come into the game late. You know, don't judge yourself by the standards of this world. Your judge is Jesus. He's always fair, and he is often generous. And this life is not all there is. He will make things right. Let me pray for you. Lord, for those people who are thinking about coming to you later on in life, I pray that you would help them to receive you into their life even right now. Help them to open their heart to you and ask for forgiveness and ask you to come into their life. And Lord, I pray that you would get them to a good church, even if it's a challenge to fit in. Lord, I pray that you would give them a sense that they belong to you and so they belong with your people. Lord, I ask all these things in your name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Good News in the Morning. It's been a privilege to talk to you about what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. And I want to thank you, Bruce Newman, for sponsoring this program. We're on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. My name is Brent Russett, and it's been a privilege to bring to you Good News in the Morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.